Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we just want to start with taking a moment to just focus on what the Lord is doing or saying in our lives. To do that, we just quiet ourselves and just let Him draw us to Him. Just take a deep breath and just let Him draw you. Lord, we also take authority over all interference, whether it's the devil, our flesh, or the world system. Lord, when we focus on you, our enemies can't get through. And so we rely on your presence to reveal any area of our lives in which we need healing or to deal with an interference or hindrance or change our belief system or just hear from you. We place our situation in your hands. And we recognize that you are the God. We are not going to tell you what to do or how to do it. We are going to instead simply receive what you want to give us and accept your presence, whether we understand it or feel it or even sense it. We know you are always with us, and we are always in you. Lord, you know each one of us what's on our heart, what our situation is, whether it's a major conflict or crisis, or whether it's just a day-by-day situation. You've arranged that circumstance, that situation, for your purposes. So, Lord, don't let us miss you. Don't let us brush off what you're doing in our lives. Make yourself so clear that we can't miss you. Give us ears to hear and the ability to respond. And don't give up, Lord. Don't let us continue in our own way. We want what's best for us, and you're it. Lord, you know what we need far better than we do. And we just ask that you meet that need that you have created. Entice us evermore towards you. Lord, it's the goodness, it's your goodness that draws us. Lord, help us see what that is so that we can respond with a full and whole and complete heart. Again, teach us how to overcome our enemies, how to stand strong. Whatever it is that you're teaching each one of us as individuals, we ask that you not give up and that you even do a quick work in whatever our situation is. And don't spare for our complaining. We really don't mean it. Well, we may mean it in our soul, but we don't mean it in our spirit. We accept what's best for us on your terms, Lord. lead us and guide us, heal us, speak truth to us, even right now, Lord. So we're going to take just a minute or 30 seconds where you can speak or bring to our mind any thought, memory, or emotion that you want to talk to us later. So just let the Lord just bring to your consciousness. And don't think you might think you've got a big crisis going on, and he might bring to your attention something that isn't even connected. That doesn't matter. It's where God wants to go, so go with him. He might have just arranged that crisis so he could talk to you. And very often, the memory or emotion or thought isn't even connected to what's going on in your life or where he wants to go. But it's someplace you feel safe going, or that it makes sense to you, or that it's clear, because he's willing to do whatever is necessary to get your attention. So write down whatever he brings, whether it's a feeling, a thought, a memory, a picture, even a photograph that you remember. We're just going to give him some time right now. And that's it. Just write down anything, feeling, thought, again, photograph, any image, just write it down. And then make sure after this program, or if you're in a place where you can just stop where you're at, Lord, what is the meaning of this? Where do you want to go? Lord, is there something you want to speak to me about this? Is there a healing that is necessary? Where do you want to go with this? And let him lead and guide and direct. And once you start, he might give you more information. Or he might say, no, just by you writing it down, the healing was completed. So, Lord, we want to follow you. Make the pathway so clear that we can't miss it. And, Lord, you also know we need encouragement. So give us that encouragement that, as simplistic as this process is, it's all about being available to you, which that's the only thing that matters. It's not about qualifying or getting in the right frame of mind or worshiping enough or having enough faith. It's being available for you. We know we don't have to talk you into bringing us into oneness. That is your goal for us. So we're all on the same page. So Lord, just teach us how to do that. Teach us how to be able to receive everything you want to give us. So Lord, right now I just ask that you provide that healing, that encouragement, that direction that we need, that will draw us closer to you and confirm that we have heard from you. We thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do during our program and for what you're doing in our lives. We always thank you ahead of time because we know that you are the faithful one. It's not dependent on our beliefs or our faithfulness, but our relationship with you is because it's what you want. We're just going to take you up on that offer and join you in the place where you are at. And Lord, we recognize that we're all in different places. And we just say thank you for meeting us wherever we're at, meeting our need wherever, whatever it is. So thank you, Lord. So we've been talking about the practical consequences of waiting. And just as we were talking there, these are some of the consequences of waiting. Relief from trying to do things ourselves. Having our senses quickened to recognize God. Remember, he's always present with you. When he says, I will never leave or forsake you, he means it. And he's always everywhere, so there's no place that he's not. But he also heals our wounds and addresses our situation. So last week we were talking about how he does provide relief. He removes the pressure from trying to measure up, trying to be good enough, trying to qualify. And the more time we spend with him, the less work we feel is required of us. We also experience a quickening in our senses. And this is something that it is better experienced rather than taught. When God starts revealing himself to you in unusual ways, you will see and discover the limitations of our communication. Trying to explain the presence of God, experiencing his love, is like trying to explain snow to someone who lives on the equator. They may have seen pictures. In fact, I was in school in Chicago, like sixth grade, and we had a new student, and he was from Hawaii. And we were all excited because we were due for our first snowfall. And we were so excited because we had somebody there who had never seen snow. Now, he said he knew all about snow because he'd seen pictures of it and he understood what it was. But understanding and experiencing were two totally different things. And it was so fun for, I think it was recess, there was already a good like inch on the ground. And it was snowing heavily. And we all went out and were so having such a great time enjoying his wonder of snow. Now, of course, by the end of the day, you're tired of it, but until you have experienced it for yourself, it's really hard to explain to others what the presence of God is like. And even for each one of us as individuals, the way he reveals himself changes over time. He doesn't want us to come up with a pattern that this is the way God speaks to me, and this is the only way he speaks to me. As he makes himself at home with you, and you become more and more able to receive everything he wants to give you, remember his nature, the way he expresses his love is to give. His desire for you is that you would be able to receive. It's not for you to be able to do his projects or fulfill his mission on this earth, but that you can enjoy and receive everything he wants to give to you. Knowing God, receiving from him, is the only thing that satisfies us. It's the only thing that fills the voids, that gives us satisfaction and contentment. And we find it so hard because it's not up to us. Our soul, our mind, our will and our emotions, and even our physical body, we've become so used to doing it ourselves. And we've even been taught that in our churches, that God has provided our salvation. Now it's up to us to, and you fill in the blank, evangelize the world, be his hands and feet, give to those who are needy, or get God to move for you. Worship and pray and memorize scriptures. And we come up with a list of these are the things you have to do. And even if it's not said, the idea is that here's the things you do in order for you to know God. So that if you're not satisfied with your relationship with God, it must be because you're lacking on one of those things on your list. And I will tell you that simply being in his presence, waiting for him, in most churches, that's not first on the list. It's not second or third. Very often it's not even on the list. And one of the reasons being is pretty obvious, because you don't need a church to know God. Isn't that amazing? You don't need to go to church to know God, to have a wonderful, fulfilling relationship with him. And in fact, dare I say, going to church often is a distraction from knowing him on his terms. So we want to prioritize how we spend our time, how we plan our future, how we approach our wounds and our history. It's not out of guilt or regret or fear or condemnation or even pride that we didn't make the mistakes others did. Instead, it's, Lord, what are you saying? What's your truth here? What do you want me to know from this? And when we give God the opportunity, he takes it. Very often we don't know because, again, he does things new every morning. We don't know that it's God moving in our lives, that we've just lost our job because God wanted to set us free from it because he has something better. Or whatever your circumstance is, he's giving us a new hunger. Now, part of that is being flexible and accepting what he has for us. And sometimes that's going to run up against what we already believe. Now, God does not want you to just throw out what you believe. But he wants to talk to you about what you believe, what you've been taught, even what you're teaching. Because what is truth? What is real? What is life? Will stand up to scrutiny. Will have no problem being examined. Because what is from God has nothing to hide. We can talk about truth, God, in the full light of day. And what is not from him will just fall by the wayside. We learn that good is the enemy of better. And better is the greatest enemy of best. So we don't want to do just, okay, well, at least we're not like them. And we don't want to look at our lives and say, well, at least I'm doing better. It's like, Lord, I want your best. I don't want to be at the end of this life or looking back at this life, back at this time here on this earth, and see that I missed opportunities, that God had so much more that I could have experienced of him, of myself, of this earth, and I missed it. Now, we'll have up for plenty of other opportunities, I firmly believe. But if that's something we can learn here, that's part of the whole idea of overcoming time and bringing our soul into alignment with spirit, I don't want to miss that opportunity. So one of the things that God focuses on for all of us is healing our wounds. Now, we are all wounded. In fact, there's two kinds of people that in the world, those that have been wounded and those that have been wounded more. Those that have been rejected and those that have been rejected more. We base our life philosophy not on the good things that have happened to us, but on the bad. But the more time we spend with God, quietly waiting, letting him have his way in us, the more liberty he takes in bringing our soul and body into alignment with our spirit. Again, your spirit is already in alignment with his spirit. So he's moving, he's freeing your soul, healing those wounds, so that your soul can retake the alignment with your spirit that it was originally meant to have. Now, nothing may appear to be happening on the surface. You may not be at all aware of what he's doing. During your times of waiting, it may be that feel like nothing's going on and you don't sense his presence at all. But very often, that's when the Lord is doing his deepest work without your interference. So sometimes that you can take encouragement. Nothing's going on. That means God is doing such deep work that if he told me about it, if I knew about it, I'd hinder it. God heals our wounds. He speaks to our mind, our will, and our emotions. And he provides guidance and direction and encouragement and wisdom, all without our necessarily knowing about it in our consciousness. He solves our problems without our being aware of it. Now, eventually, for instance, we may notice that an area of stress in our lives, or a person, or an event in our past, no longer has that sting. Is no longer an area where that we don't even want to think about, or a person we want to avoid. We notice we don't react to that stress the same way. and even the decisions we were struggling with last week. We now have clear answers. We may even think, why was I even thinking about doing this other thing? And even more astoundingly, we no longer fear being wounded. The fear of man, the fear of others, the fear of rejection is replaced by the joy of knowing how to get healed. How did Jesus get healed? He went to his Father. How do you and I get healed? We go to our Father. There is such a simplicity in our relationship with God that we really don't have to make it doctrinal. We don't need to make our relationship with God about something. It's just enjoying being with Him, enjoying His presence. Now, through that process, our whole perspective on our life may change. For instance, if I've got concerns about your kids, and it seems like you're holding your life in limbo until your kids get their lives straightened out. Well, as you spend time with God, He starts to lift that burden. You still may think the same way. Oh, I wish things were better for my kids. But the weight is not there, and you're more free to accept a new path, a new desire from the Lord. Maybe over time you realize, oh, that situation that my kids are in, that's created by God for them. And I don't want to interfere with it. So we focus on what God has brought into our lives and what God has for our future. And we pull back from taking responsibility for things that are not our responsibility. And yet putting in proportion, putting in its right relationship, those things that are our responsibility. Because remember, as a soulical being and as a natural being here on this earth, just because you are a spirit being does not remove your natural responsibility. Just like, just because you're a spirit being doesn't mean you don't eat. But hopefully you learn how to take better care of the body God has given you. And likewise with your soul. You take good care of it. You value the soul and the body that God has given you. And you recognize as you're in a society and in a culture and a community and relationships. You don't abandon all those because you recognized you're a spirit being. But you see that those situations that God has placed you in are for your benefit. Hopefully it will benefit others as well to be around you and have access to the presence of God. But the circumstances that you're in are for your benefit. So ask for the Lord to reveal to you areas of healing that He wants to give. And we do that right now, Lord. Just reveal that. And for each one of us, Lord, you know the path we're on. Just ask that you'd make that plain and clear and teach us what the next step is. So thank you for tuning in. We'll be getting together at the same time next week. In the meantime, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.